Hello and welcome to another episode of the Liverpool FC Digest. I'm your host, Ben Walsh, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to this week's episode. Thank you for tuning in to this episode from whichever platform you have chosen, and thank you for your continued support on social media through the past week. If you do like this week's episode or my previous episodes, don't forget to subscribe and share and like the episodes. And I welcome all of your opinions, so please do send through any feedback or any comments that you wish, and I'll try and get through to them at some point. But without further ado, let's get stuck into this week's episode. I'll start off by getting through post-match reaction for both the Lincoln and Arsenal games before looking ahead at another Arsenal fixture coming up this week. I'll also be looking at the Aston Villa game as well. And somewhere in between there, I'll be discussing this week's media, as well as the wider LFC family, in particular, looking at some of the LFC Foundation's charity work. At some point in the episode, I will be taking a look at social media interaction and seeing how you guys are getting involved with polls that I've been putting out through the week. So let's get started with our post-match analysis of the Lincoln game, first of all. So, Liverpool came out winners 7-2 on the night. There was no real surprises. The game went exactly how many thought it was going to go. I'd say the only surprise was conceding twice against Lincoln. And maybe scoring seven is a bit excessive. I doubt many would have predicted that we'd score that many. But let's start off with the lineup. First of all, I don't think there was much surprises that there was a mixture of experience and youth. However, I did find it surprising to see Van Dijk play at all. I thought he would have been completely rested out of the squad. But as we found out at the end of the match, it was planned that both Van Dijk and Fabinho would get 45 minutes to marshal a young, inexperienced defence. Alongside Van Dijk was Reece Williams, who I was very surprised to see play. I hadn't really heard much of him apart from during pre-season, so I would have expected Van der Berg to have played. He played in similar fixtures last year. I thought he would have been definite to play. And even Kometio, I know he was supposed to be passing a late fitness test. But he didn't make the bench at all, but it was a shame. But yeah, Reece Williams came in and he did a great job alongside Van Dijk and then Fabinho in the second half. No surprises about Nico coming in at right back, and it was good to see Tsimikas get his debut at left back. In midfield, we had Jones, Gruitch and Shaqiri. I thought Jones really did a great job. As we'll talk about in a minute, but Shaqiri and Gruitch, I was a little bit surprised by their inclusion. I thought both of them would probably potentially be on the way out at some point. Maybe this appearance was to put them in the shop window a bit, but nevertheless, they both did well. And then up front, we had Elliot and Minamino alongside Origi. I thought everyone played well, in particular Minamino with his two goals and assist, as well as Jones, who looked great throughout the whole game. He really did marshal that midfield really well. And I thought Gruitch looked good anchoring the midfield. He didn't look out of place at all. I think Shaqiri's free kick was good, but apart from that, he was a little bit quiet at times and could have done a bit better on the ball at times as well. And Elliot, for what I've seen of him last season, I felt like he had a quiet game. But apart from that, it was good to have the experience of Origi up front, and I thought Minamino was a real handful throughout the game. Van Dijk did a great job, as I mentioned, marshalling Williams alongside him. If Van Dijk is your centre-back partner, then you're going to be learning a lot. So Reece Williams would have done him a world of good to play alongside Van Dijk. In terms of the goals, we scored three outside of the box, which is great to see. I don't know when the last time we scored three outside of the box was, but it must have been a long time ago, probably in the days of Coutinho. So Shaqiri's free kick, like I said, was very good in the top corner. Minamino got an interception and curled one in from outside the box. And Jones scored what's becoming a trademark curling effort as well. And then Jones got another one to make it 4-0 before halftime. And straight away after the restart, Minamino got his second of the game to make it 5-0. Before Lincoln pulled one back on the 60th minute. But Liverpool continued to push on with Grealish, who got a goal again from outside the box on 65 minutes. But that didn't deter Lincoln as they again scored another goal from the corner, and that made it 6-2 before in the last minutes of the game Origi wrapped up the victory to make it 7-2. Minamino was awarded the man of the match, rightly so, but it could have easily have been Curtis Jones, and most of the team played well enough for a mention as well. But I think the most important thing that we learned from this game is that given half a chance this season, Minamino is going to be able to step up to the plate, because he had 2 goals and 1 assist and he was constantly causing havoc. He looked a menace throughout the time he was on the pitch. He was really good on the turn, receiving the ball with his back to goal and quickly transitioning into attack. I like the way he linked up play. I like the way that he was in charge of our attacks. All of our attacks went through Minamino. And he's a real warrior as well. He likes to get stuck in. He presses hard. He doesn't give up the ball. He doesn't know when the ball is a lost cause. He just keeps fighting until there's no other options. I really like that about him. He's tenacious and he's a really good team player. So hopefully we can see more of him in the Premier League as well this year, not just the EFL Cup and FA Cup. But give him a good run in the Premier League, because I think he could fit into our squad quite well. I'm not sure if he should play on the wing or through the middle, but I'm sure if we're seeing lots of the ball in a game that he could make a difference. He draws players onto him because he likes to sit in between the lines, and he's also got an eye for a pass. So, yeah, he's quite an intelligent, tricky little player. And he can also score from outside the box, as we know from last season, where he scored against us. But he's got a good shot on him. He's always, from the moment he's arrived, he's tried the long-distance shots. So I'm sure he'll score plenty of goals this season, given half a chance. I'm most excited about Curtis Jones, however. Given he's only 19, it feels like every time I see him, he scores. Every time he's given a chance, he takes it. He's so confident about his ability, even though he's only got a handful of appearances. I really think he's got a huge future at Liverpool, and I can see him playing many years inside our midfield. I'm hoping we don't have to rely on him, because that would mean we'd have a lot of injuries, but I'm hoping that he's given a chance. I know that might upset a few of our first team midfielders, but as a local Liverpool lad, he deserves a few games under his belt, because every time he's been asked a question by Klopp, he has answered emphatically. He's scored goals, assisted goals. He just looks well ahead of his age group as far as his development goes. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him appearing throughout the season. I also want to talk about Nico Williams in particular as well. I feel like he did have a good game. However, he's been highlighted for quite some strong criticism. I'm not too sure why. He is a deputy right back. He is a full international now, and he's still only a teenager. We've only seen him in a handful of games. He's still learning his trade. Every time we've seen him, he's looked an adequate replacement for Trent. So just one or two mistakes in this game does not deserve the criticism that he got. I really hope he can just keep learning from his mistakes and just keep going the way he is. I really like the way he plays. It feels like he's a player who's already moulded into the fits of Trent. So, yeah, we couldn't really ask more of a youth academy teenager coming through as well. So, yeah, I hope that he can put it behind him and continue performing well like he has been. And then that victory has led us on to facing Arsenal in the next round. So Yeah, I'll get onto that later on in the episode, but I wouldn't be too surprised if we stuck with a similar team, considering how congested the rest of the fixture list is looking this season. So now let's move on to the post-match reaction of the Arsenal game. A dominant display which led to a well-deserved 3-1 victory. Liverpool were completely superior in every aspect. Arsenal couldn't really cope with us in many areas of the pitch. We dominated possession, especially in the first half, but overall we had 66% and we had 21 shots compared to their 4. So we really were on top through most of the game. We started with our strongest 11. However, Thiago wasn't involved because, as it turns out, he's been tested positive for coronavirus, so he'll be self-isolating for the next 2 weeks. And Henderson is still out with the injury he picked up against Chelsea, and Matip as well was out injured. But apart from that, we had our strongest team out. I felt Trent and Robertson were menaces all day long. They were very good on the ball, good delivery, occasionally wasteful, but the amount of quality they do put in, it doesn't matter how many times they hit the target or not. Their crosses are extremely good. It was nice to see Gomez come back in. It's always my favourite centre-back partnership of Gomez and Van Dijk. When they get going together, getting a few games under their belt together, they really are a wonderful combination. Our midfield looked very industrial and very dynamic at the same time. Fabinho dominated proceedings and Keita was instrumental in most of our good work. He was all over the pitch, had the midfield running the way he was deciding. He was very influential and he looked very sharp. Really good to see him putting some good performances together. That's the 5th consecutive appearance for us in the league, which is a first for him at Liverpool. So I really hope this is a good omen for him moving forward, because I'm really starting to see just what Klopp values in him. I've always seen it in glimpses, but to have consistency added to his game would make him a real stronger tribute to this Liverpool team. And what can I say about our front three? Always a problem, always causing issues. No one can deal with our front three. If two of them are having a bad game, then one is having a great game. So yeah, what can I say? They were amazing as usual, in particular Mane, who was the man of the match. But let's talk about the first half initially, where both teams showed each other a respect initially. It's quite, I wouldn't say cagey, but it's quite a controlled opening 10 minutes, not much being played in final thirds, just a lot of ball in the middle of the park. But as the first half wore on, Liverpool started to stamp their authority on the game, really dominating by the end of the first half. We were all over them, turning over possession, high up the pitch. They couldn't really get out as much. But their goal was the opening goal on 25 minutes, completely against the run of play. Liverpool could have scored themselves just moments before, where Trent had a deflected shot against the crossbar. And it just looked a matter of time until Liverpool would score. However, it wasn't to be, and yet again, Arsenal scored against us by beating our high press. Now, as Klopp has highlighted, it is something that is a hazard with our team, and it is something that can happen. That's why we went out and bought Alisson to help protect against that, because we're always going to have a high press. We're going to try and win the ball back in the final third. And it's a calculated risk to have so many players committed forward. It leaves us exposed at the back, but the percentages work in our favour most of the time. But yet again, Arsenal beat our high press and they got the ball forward. And Maitland-Niles managed to get the ball to Lacazette after quick build-up play, which cut us open. But Lacazette received the ball after a Robertson mistake, which was very unlike him. He tried to clear the ball with his right foot, and he made a bit of a hash of it. Yeah, it's very unlike him. I can't really remember him making a mistake. So, yeah, but it's cost us the first goal. And, yeah, I didn't really feel stressed at all. I just knew that we were in control of the game. And judging by the way that we go about our games now under Klopp, I didn't think it was going to be one of those days. I knew we would keep going the same way we were. I knew we wouldn't give up or get frustrated. I just knew that we were going to continue with the intensity we were. And it was a matter of minutes before Mane equalised, making it 1-1 on 28 minutes. It was an instinctive finish after Leno, the goalkeeper, had deflected Salah's shot into his path. He was in the right place at the right time, and yeah, it was a nice, tidy finish. And then on 34 minutes came my goal of the match, which was from Robertson, atoning for his mistake at the other end. I was really happy for him, really pleased for him to get his goal. It came from a wonderful cross that Trent put in, which swept across the whole of their defence. Really was a fantastic cross, which picked Robertson out at the far post, and he controlled it, brought it down before dinking it nicely past the keeper, as if he was Mane himself. And that led us into the half-time break at 2-1, a thoroughly dominant display. Only the one mistake, which was punished by Arsenal. However, in the second half, it was a little bit different. Liverpool was still superior. However, Arsenal, they changed their shape a little to counteract our dominance in midfield. So they put more pressure on us, and it led to them winning the ball back a bit more and having more of the ball in general in our half, which was good tactics from Arteta. But it wasn't really having too much impact on the game. They managed to have a couple of one-on-ones with Alisson, however. One of them would have been ruled out for offside. However, the other one, Trent, just kept Lacazette onside as they broke against us. We had a high line, and Lacazette was able to run in behind. And Alisson made a superb save at 2-1 to keep it in Liverpool's favour. If that went in, then Arsenal could have held on, maybe, for the draw. But it wasn't to be. Liverpool's dominant display got the 3 points that it deserved. And late on in the game, Jota, on his home debut, managed to get a goal in front of an empty cop, unfortunately. I could have imagined the full cop going crazy for that goal, but nevertheless, it was a good moment for him. You could see the joy and jubilance on his face, and all the teammates around him got involved with celebrating and congratulating him. A really great team performance. I really liked the way Keita played, and Wijnaldum in particular as well. To me, Keita looks as if Thiago's signing has given him a bit of a kick up the bum, to be honest. Maybe he sees his place under threat because he's starting to put in some real great performances. It could just be coincidence. He could just be coming into a nice bit of form as he's signed. But I wouldn't be surprised if Thiago's signing has helped him a little bit. There's nothing wrong with a bit of competition. It can improve players. So it's nice to see Keita push his performances to the next level. And I hope that it sustains that way and that he's put his injury worries behind him. Because if he continues like this, then Thiago would struggle to push for a starting place. Because we know that Klopp favours players in form, and he's not going to upset the rhythm of players that are getting him the results. And he'll just bide his time until reintroducing players that have suffered injuries. So this victory took us to 3 wins from 3. Many people predicted this to be a tricky start for Liverpool, as I did as well, with Leeds, Arsenal and Chelsea all posing different risks and challenges. On paper, I didn't really like our initial fixtures, but we've come out with maximum points so far. And it's just a testament to the team. We just look like a machine. It doesn't matter who we come across. We just look like we're going to get the result. And we are really adapting well to different styles, to different players. It doesn't matter to us at the moment. We're just absolute machines. It's great to see. I think we've really put out a statement to the rest of the league from our dominant displays. Even when Chelsea had 11 players, we were completely all over them, just like we were with Arsenal. And in my opinion, and I'm pretty sure most of you will agree, we look the strongest team in the league. But they weren't really causing as much threat at all in the first half. Our closest rivals, Man City, have already dropped points, including that 5-2 loss to Leicester. I'm not going to mention too much about that result because I feel like this season we'll see a lot of ups and downs in consistency. I don't think the team that will win the league will have 90 points. I think there'll be a lot of drop points just because of how little time we have to prepare. But from the first few fixtures, I can't see anyone other than Liverpool winning the league this year. We're currently second on goal difference, Leicester just above us, but we know they have consistency issues. Last year, they completely bottled it towards the end of the season, and we all know Everton aren't really going to stick around for too much longer. Ancelotti's a great coach, but it's just in the Everton blood, so they're just not going to make it. But yeah, I just feel really positive after these first few victories. The team have put my worries to rest, and I'm fully expectant to just keep this machine rolling on. Wonderful performance, really enjoyed it. So that wraps up the post-match discussions. Let's move on now to some media talks and looking at what the news outlets have been saying, as well as some transfer roundups. Let's start this section of the episode with a transfer roundup. So from last week's episode, we haven't brought anyone else in, which is expected. Departure-wise, Wilson, Gruitch and Brewster still haven't left. As we know, Gruitch started the game against Lincoln, so maybe there might be a second plan for him moving forward. Maybe he won himself the chance to prove himself for a season. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But one player that has left, well, two players that have left are two goalkeepers in Karius and Grabara, who have both left on loan. I can't believe Karius is still on the books. I don't know what it's going to take to get him off the books. I'm just hoping at the end of this year his contract might run out. I'm not sure, but he's still around, but he's off to Berlin. And Grabara is off to Denmark. So I wish Grabara good luck. Well, I wish Karius good luck as well, but hopefully he doesn't come back, really. There's not been much of a transfer activity, except Bobby Duncan is returning back to England. He's signed for Derby from Fiorentina. So we wish him well. Hopefully he's got himself a new agent and can crack on with his football development. But that's all we've got transfer-wise. In the rest of the media, as we saw post-Arsenal game, Klopp was able to put Roy Keane in his place, which was really great to see. I've been wanting someone to do that for years, so it was really lovely to see Klopp put him in his place because he took him to the cleaners in that discussion. And, you know, hopefully people will think twice before criticising Klopp's team in the future. And it just highlighted Klopp's passion for us as well. The fact that one person's criticism can irritate him that much just showed just how much passion he puts into it and just his expectations of the squad as well. Personally, I hope he doesn't do it week in, week out, but I'm not complaining because Roy Keane has needed to be put in his place for many years now. So, yeah, well done, Klopp. In some other news, which is quite sad, legendary supporter Lenny Woods has passed away at the age of 75. If many of you don't know who he is, then it's worth looking into. But as many of you will know, this supporter is well known amongst the community, and he didn't miss a home game for over 50 years at one point. He started attending Anfield in the 50s. And has seen Liverpool rise to greatness, and he'll be sadly missed as he's known for his sing-alongs in down the local pub post-game, and for making many of the songs that we know today. So yeah, sad day. You'll be sorely missed, Lenny Woods. Rest in peace. You'll never walk alone. But now let's move on to some social media reaction. I want to talk about a couple of polls that I've put up on Twitter over the past week. The first poll I want to talk about is when I asked you, is Klopp the greatest ever manager for Liverpool? And the majority of you said maybe one day, 54.5% of the votes. The rest of the votes were for yes, he is the greatest manager. And nobody said no, he's not the greatest manager. So I'd have to agree with you. I think maybe one day he could be the greatest ever manager. But for now, I don't think he is quite yet. I think he sits just behind Paisley and Shankly for being the greatest ever manager. And that's a compliment in its own right. The fact that he sits just behind those two just shows the massive influence he's had across the club, including the supporters and the community as a whole. He's a great man and a manager, so I hope if he continues winning trophies like he has done, that he can one day be regarded as the greatest ever. However, in my opinion, I don't think he could quite ever become the greatest ever. He might do, but I don't think he could, just because of the influence that Shankly had on Liverpool from the very, very beginning. Liverpool weren't the team that we were when Klopp took over. It's hard to remember just the state of Liverpool Football Club when Shankly took over, being in the old second division at the time when he took over and taking us up into the first division before obviously going on to have great success. So I think Shankly is the catalyst to our growth and development as a club. So I think he should, rightly so, always be regarded as the greatest ever. But it'll be interesting to see if Klopp can push him for that title and see how he goes moving forward, though. Let's not jump ahead of ourselves. But yeah, rightly so, maybe one day he could be. On the second poll that I asked you all, I asked who is Liverpool's nearest title challengers this year after seeing Man City lose 5-2. And 57.1% of you said that Man City still are our closest rivals for the title. Next on the list was other, which got 38%, before Man United got 4.8% and Chelsea got 0. So the majority of you think Man City will push us the furthest for the title. I agree with you. I think quality wise and squad depth wise, Man City are the second best team in the league, and with Pep they're capable of pushing the 90 points that we've seen time and time again from them. However, I don't think they're going to be as good as last year. I expect them to drop off a little bit, especially obviously losing Kompany the season before last, and now losing Silva this season, and obviously Aguero and Jesus are going to be out until the end of October. So yeah, dropping points might become a bit more familiar from them, but I can't see the same dip from Liverpool this year. So I think Man City are quite a way off Liverpool's quality at the moment, but I still think they're the second favourites for the title and will push us the closest. I agree with you. I don't think Chelsea pose any threat this year. They've got too many new faces in key positions, and I don't know how well they're going to gel. I think they'll be fighting for a top four place this year. And only 4.8 of you said that Man United will be the next closest rivals. Yeah, I don't think they will push us at all. I think they're too inconsistent. But I would say they would be a strong contender for top four. But 38% of you said other. I'd be interested to know which team comes under that, whether people are referring to Leicester, Everton, Arsenal, or even Tottenham. I personally don't think any of them will pose any risk, but I think Arsenal, out of the ones I've just mentioned, will push Liverpool the closest. the reason why I say that instead of, say, Leicester is because the way Arteta has started to change this Arsenal team is quite remarkable, really. He's working with the same group of players that Emery had, yet the quality is completely different. Their mentality is completely changed, so he's working within them as well as just on the pitch. He's changed the way they're seeing the game, and he's turning around players that I thought were completely useless. Players like Xhaka, who are actually working for him now. So, yeah, it's really interesting to see the work rate change and their mentality. I don't think it's anything like what Klopp is doing with Liverpool, but it's of a similar kind of effect, changing the way they think about themselves. So, yeah, I think they'll push for a top four. But, yeah, I think Leicester will be a strong contender again this season as well. So I think Liverpool are in a league of their own compared to the rest of the teams. But, yeah, I think I agree with you on that most recent poll as well. So that concludes our media discussions and social media roundup. Now it's time to move on to the next section, talking about the LFC family as a whole, in particular LFC Foundation charity work. So in this section, we're going to take a look at how Liverpool Football Club is positively influencing the community around it, and how you as fans are getting involved as well. So firstly, I want to talk to you about a project that the LFC Foundation is currently running. As Liverpool Football Club's official charity, they are the link between the football club and our communities. So let's take a look at what they've been doing. So the LFC Foundation has partnered with their community team, known as the Red Neighbours, to take part in a project called More Than Football, which is backed by the UEFA Foundation for Children, and it's running across September and October. So we're slap bang in the middle of this project. Just to give you a bit of background about the project, it's where European clubs are competing to win an outdoor pitch for their community to enjoy and use in the future. And the winner will be decided by the level of promotion and engagement, amongst other things, of their projects that they are doing at the moment. So across September and October, all of the big clubs across Europe will be engaging in a variety of different projects in the form of activities or classes and clubs to try and engage with the community in a different way. If you haven't seen it yet, then I recommend you do. Just search up hashtag More Than Football, or visit the LFC Foundation page, or even Red Neighbours page, and just see the kind of projects that Liverpool are getting involved in. And hopefully we can win the prize, and who knows, maybe one day there'll be an outdoor pitch near you for you to enjoy because of it. So yeah, just get involved, share, if you can, get down to some of the events in Liverpool. Let's all do our bit to try and support this great work. In other news, the LFC Foundation is continuing to provide free school meals to the Gladys Street Primary School. The food is being prepared by LFC cooks and chefs, and then distributed to the primary school, amongst other local primary schools as well. And they've continued to support the free school meals plan throughout the coronavirus time. And it's great to see this kind of engagement with children in the schools. Again, if you haven't seen it, then just go on the LFC Foundation page and see some of the projects that they're involved in. And if you can do your bit to help support school meals, then yeah, get in touch with the foundation. Another story comes from the Liverpool Homeless FC group, who have been helping to deliver food hampers to families across the north of Liverpool in support of the LFC Foundation. Again, this is great work, and it just shows the spirit of Liverpool, of fans pulling together. And it's just great to see groups like this helping one another. And finally, our last story that I'm going to bring to you today comes from the Owen McVeigh Foundation, who has helped to take over 100 children and their families to Chester Zoo this week. If you aren't aware of the Owen McVeigh Foundation, then please do take a look at them online. It's a charity focused on trying to deliver magical memories for children suffering from cancer in the Liverpool area. So again, just amazing work and really great to see. I hope that you can have a look, and yeah, I hope if you have any stories yourself that you would like to share about how your fan base or how you as an individual are contributing to positive works in the community, then yeah, please share, get in touch, and I'd love to discuss your charity or your projects on the next episode. I look forward to hearing from you in that regard. So yeah, let's move on to the last part of this podcast, which is our pre-match build-up for the games moving forward. And then finally, let's move on to the pre-match build-up of Aston Villa game on the weekend. So let's start our final part of this podcast by discussing our match coming up against Arsenal in the EFL Cup on Thursday evening. I find it happens quite frequently with the EFL Cup, where you play a team in the league and then all of a sudden in the next round you're playing the same team you've just played. It always seems to happen at least once in the season for one team or another. But yeah, we've just played them a few days ago. We know how Arsenal are going to set up with Arteta. They're going to be nice and compact, look to beat us on the break. And they've got a good attacking players, but quite shaky at the back. But they don't know when to say no anymore. With Arteta, they fight till the end and will always show a good account of themselves, which is quite different from the Arsenal we came to see at the end of Wenger's reign and with Emery. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of lineup he goes for, if he's going to go for a weakened side or if he's going to go full strength. I'm not sure. I'd expect him to play some of his reserve players, as I would expect the same from Klopp. I mean, it could be pretty similar to last season's 5-5 lineups. It could be a blend of youth and reserves with just a few experienced players scattered in there. That's what I probably would expect from both sides. But yeah, like I said, from that 5-5 game, it could be just as exciting. Who knows? Hopefully it will be, because that was a thoroughly enjoyable game. But let's talk about my predicted lineup for Liverpool. I'd expect Adrian to come in again for this game, for the EFL Cup games. I'd expect him to play all of them. And then in defence, I'd probably expect to see Nico Williams come in for Trent again. And in defence, I would probably see a mixture of either Williams, Cometio, or Van der Berg with Van Dijk or Gomez alongside him. I think Van Dijk could do with this game off, maybe, with Aston Villa coming up. So that would mean if he played this game, it'd be free in a week. So yeah, I'd expect Van Dijk to have a rest and Gomez to be the senior defender alongside one of those youngsters I mentioned. And then, yeah, I'd probably expect Tsimikas to come in again after his debut in the last round, to come in again at left back. And then in midfield, I'd expect Curtis Jones to start every day of the week. And then the other two places, I'm not too sure, really. I doubt he'll go with Shaqiri again in midfield. I think he'll be left out. But I'm not sure about Gruic. He could come in and play again as a holding midfielder role. So, yeah, I'll say Gruic with Jones. And then I'd expect probably Milner to come in as well, just for a bit of experience to lead Gruic and Jones in there. And front three-wise, I think we're more than likely to see Jota start. Minamino has to start after scoring twice in the previous round. And I really liked Origi's presence in the last game. It was quite understated until he scored his goal. But he really did direct the rest of the team's attacks well by linking up play, providing us with a target. So I would like to see Origi start up front with Minamino and Jota play. Elliot could easily come in. If he were to come in, then I'd expect him to start ahead of Jota, and then Jota to be brought on towards the end of the game as well. But that's my predicted lineup. I'm probably going to go for 3-2, something silly like that, to be honest, in these kind of games. You don't know what you're going to get. So, yeah, I'm going to predict a Liverpool win, but maybe not as comfortable as our game on the weekend where we won 3-1. Maybe a bit closer due to the drop of many of our first team players. I quite like the way that Aston Villa is set up. I think they've got a really good defence with Mings being the leader of it. I think he's a really dominant defender, very powerful, strong, quick, and reads the game well. And he seems like he's got a good partner alongside him with Konsa. So, yeah, I think their partnership is quite strong. So I think it'll be quite difficult to break them down on the weekend. And their midfield is really well organised. Really intelligent players with Grealish and McGinn and Douglas Luiz. I really like the way they link up. And on good days, they can really read each other well and cause anyone troubles. Obviously, they've added a lot of firepower with Traore and Watkins coming in over the summer. So they can score goals. We've seen them score 3 in their previous game. So they do carry a threat. Fulham, though they were poor, you know, to be swept aside 3-0 from Villa, it was quite impressive on their side. And that's not even mentioning players like Trezeguet and Samata who can cause problems. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a difficult game. But again, I feel like I predict every game to be a win, but I'm going for a 2-0 or a 1-0 win in this game. I think we'll keep the clean sheet. I think it's something that's going to be bugging Klopp at the moment, even though he's playing it off quite coolly in the media. I think he doesn't like conceding goals, so I think we're going to be really focusing in training to try and prevent goals being conceded the way we have done. So I think we'll see not cautious, but more reserved play from Liverpool in the game against Villa. So obviously we're still without Henderson and Thiago for this game for different reasons, but I think that's why we'll see a completely different midfield for our game against Arsenal in the Cup on Thursday, to give players like Wijnaldum, Fabinho and Keita a rest, because I think we'll need them all firing against Aston Villa, especially Keita. I think the creative responsibility in our midfield has been given to him at the moment, because obviously Chamberlain is out long term, Thiago is currently self-isolating, so he is our main creator in the midfield, and I'm enjoying seeing him have that responsibility. I think he's relishing it, but we need him fit and try and avoid him getting silly little injuries. So yeah, I think he'll play a pivotal role in that game. But yeah, like I said, I think, yeah, I'm going to predict a 1-0 or a 2-0 win. So that concludes our pre-match build-up. But before we go, I'd like to finish with a quote from the great Jamie Carragher, who once said, "No one wants to grow up and be a Gary Neville." What wonderful poetic words there from Cara. Couldn't have put it better myself. Truly inspirational words. And that's all the time we have for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed it, then please do subscribe. And you can find me at Twitter at Liverpool Digest. Keep an eye out for any sort of polls that I'll put up throughout the week. And I'll be back next week with another podcast for the games that I've been. I've been your host, Ben Walsh. And again, thank you for listening. Please do subscribe. Have a blessed week. You'll never walk alone.